We're going to talk about compassion. Being clothed with compassion. And we're going to start with the verse which where the Word of God talks about what does it mean to be clothed with compassion. So look at this verse. It's actually in Colossians 3:12, and it says this. It says, therefore, it's coming. Therefore, oh, I forgot to start with this. This is crazy. Let's start with a crazy story. This last March, this year, I went out to live on the streets of New York City with the homeless. I lived for 7 days and seven nights on the streets of New York City, and I slept on the subway. I slept in Port Authority, the biggest bus station in America, with all the other homeless people. I slept in shelters. I only ate at soup kitchens. That's the only way I got food. And every day I would beg with a cardboard sign and ask people to help me. In fact, my sign said, it said, imagine if you were homeless. Please help. God bless. And that whole week I was out on the streets. It was cold. March was cold. It snowed on me one day. It was freezing. And, you know, it is so hard to sleep on the subway. You know why? The subway moves all night long. The train keeps going and going. And there are thousands of people sleeping on those trains. And they were all around me. And that's what I look like. I had a big beard. I grew out my beard. I didn't have a blanket, so I begged to get some money to get a blanket. And I slept out on the subway, and at night, the subway moves all night long, and the lights are bright, and the announcement is waking you up, and my back hurt so much in the morning. I couldn't wear my backpack, because sleeping sitting up is hard, but sleeping sitting up on a hard, you know, moving subway train is so difficult. And I felt like God told me to do this, not for any reason other than to go on a spiritual pilgrimage, to go out and to live amongst the poor, because that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus left heaven. He had everything in the, you know, universe, all the beauty, all the pleasure, all of the joy. And he came down to earth to experience all the hatred, all the darkness, all the problems. And so I felt like the Lord told me, I was praying for 2018, Lord, what do you want me to do this year? How should I follow you? How do I serve you in our ministry? How do I serve you and my family? And I felt like he told me to go live on the streets for a week. And I've never done anything for so long. Like I did it one time for one night. But seven nights, let me tell you, I only slept for about 3 or 4 hours a night. I was tired every day. Sometimes you see homeless people and they're just moving around like this. And you're like, what's wrong with them? They're tired. They can't even sleep. You're not allowed to lay down on a bench. You're not allowed to lay down in the library. You're not allowed to lay down in the subway. You know what will happen? The police will write you a ticket or just take you to jail. That's against the law. It's criminal to be homeless. And it's hard to exist. And I went through a lot of hardship. You know, people ignored me every day. I would be sitting on the ground with a sign, and people would just, thousands of people would just go by me and try not to look at me. And I have a little cup on the ground. And sometimes people would put a quarter in, but they wouldn't want to look at me. They would just try to avoid me. And they wouldn't want to see me. And that was a terrible feeling, to feel so broken, to feel like, man, nobody likes me. But sometimes someone would come by every now and then, and they would put out the money, but they wouldn't put it in the cup. They would put it in my hand. And they touched my hand, and they would look in my eyes. And I didn't know how much that would mean, but it meant a lot, because they would look me in the eyes and I knew what they were saying. I see you. I care about you. And every person that put anything in the cup, they would leave, and I would just pray for them. I prayed all week, all day. I just prayed, God, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? What are you saying to the poor? What are you saying to this city? God, what do you desire? And I would pray for every person that put money in that cup, that God would bless them 100 times, that God would bless their family and their marriage and their business. I just prayed and I just listened to the Holy Spirit. And I learned many things, and I'm going to try to share some of them today. I've been writing a lot of articles about it, just trying to understand and continue to think about what the Lord had taught me. But it was a crazy experience. And I want to start with this verse in Colossians. I want to talk about being clothed with compassion, because there's a powerful thing in compassion. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's us. Everybody say, that's me. That's right. You're God's chosen people. Holy and dearly loved. Praise the Lord. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So the Lord is telling us, take off the old clothes, and here's what you need to put on. This is what Jesus looks like when you put on God's holiness, God's goodness, God's righteousness. He says, clothe yourselves with the first word, compassion. What does compassion look like? It kind of looks like the rest of those words. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's what compassion looks like. It's the love of God, but not just in my mind or my thoughts, but demonstrated to people who are hurting and broken and desperate. That's what Jesus was all about. That's why I brought this whiteboard out today, because this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about compassion. Compassion is a powerful thing. Compassion is another word for loving others, especially others who are struggling, suffering, or in pain. And it's not just pity. Sometimes we pity people, right? We see something like, oh, that's too bad. And then we move on. We just feel bad for a second, and then it's over. But compassion is different. It's identifying with the person so much with what they're going through that we're moved into action. We don't just feel bad for them. We have to change something to make the situation different. That's what compassion is. Jesus came to the earth to be compassionate to us. We didn't deserve it, but he came to do all of these things to us, for us. He came to identify with us by becoming human. He clothed himself with humanity. He put on skin and flesh and bones. Why? To identify with us who are human, we're weak, we're tired, suffering and pain. Jesus went through all of that. He suffered all of that for us. He even suffered misunderstanding, accusation. He was tempted in every way, the Bible says. That's a lot of temptation. We need to think about that. There's a lot of evil, wicked, terrible things, sins, right? He was tempted in all of them, but he didn't give in to one. But he still had the attack of temptation, just like we do. And he did this, so why? So we could come close to him, so that we wouldn't be away from him. And now he's calling us to be close to others. How do we become close to others? Through compassion. It's when we demonstrate compassion that people are attracted to us like a magnet. Sinners were attracted to Jesus, but many Christians, sinners don't want to be around them because they're better at judging than loving. And so they don't draw people. They actually even sometimes repel people, you know, because they think, oh, they won't like me because I'm a sinner. You know, that's why we have to go out of our way and go overboard to be compassionate, to demonstrate physically the love of Christ. Here's the way I like to define compassion. It's like empathy, but like on steroids. You know what steroids are? It's like when you're working out and then people get shots or they take pills and they get huge. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, he used steroids. Sylvester Stallone, he used steroids. Every person you think of who's a movie star, who's huge, almost all of them use steroids. But I want to put it on a positive spin. When Jesus came to make us like him and clothe ourselves, wrap ourselves up, literally, in compassion, every part of our being covered with compassion, it's like he gave us empathy for others, but supernaturally enhanced and multiplied and expanded. Like empathy on steroids, like it's powerful and strong. Like when we see someone hurting, it impacts us. This empathy is like supercharged by the Holy Spirit. So we care more than most people. Now, God is putting people in our lives to show compassion to. Where you work, there's people to show compassion to. Where you go to school, there's people to show compassion to. Your neighbors around you, they're the people God has given you as an assignment to show compassion to. Now, at New York City Relief, yeah, you see this cartoon? The man who's begging. He says, will this help you, right? To be generous, to be kind, to be compassionate if you look in the mirror and see yourself? That's what compassion does. When it looks at someone in pain or suffering or they're messed up, their life's all a wreck, they don't see, they don't judge. They say, what if that was me? What if that was me? What would I want someone to do to help me? That's what compassion is. Okay, go to the next slide. At New York City Relief, that's my ministry, our first core value is compassion. That's the number one thing. And then oneness, and then revolution, and then excellence. That's how we define what we do and why we do it. But the first one is important, because the way we define that, as you can see, is tangibly demonstrating God's love for the poor through humble service. That's our assignment. Our assignment is to the poor and the homeless and the addicted, people living on the streets. God has called us to show compassion to them. Now, let me ask you a question. When you think of being clothed in compassion, what kind of clothes do you think of? Maybe you think of these kind of clothes, you know, like the next slide. It's like a holy robe, right? Maybe you think, well, when I put on compassion, it's like Jesus put a holy robe. It's glowing. It's beautiful. You know, that's what being clothed with Christ looks like. That's what being clothed with compassion looks like. But I have a problem with that. I think it looks too much like the next one, like a Snuggie. Like, if I put on a robe, I put on a robe to relax, right? I'm not putting on a robe to go help people. I'm putting on a robe to, let me take a break. And that's okay, right, to do that. But if we get clothed with compassion, what kind of clothes does that look like? Well, it doesn't look like the next slide. It doesn't look like old-style clothes. They're stiff. They're scratchy. You know, they don't breathe. You know, they're out of date. They're old-fashioned. That's not what it means to be clothed in Christ or clothed in compassion. It might look more like this next one. It might look like stretchy clothes. That's kind of silly, right? People who are like, you ever seen people who are wrestlers and they have stretchy clothes on? But they have clothes, they're going into battle. They're going into a fight. They don't look like that. That's ridiculous, right? But God is, look at the next slide. This is kind of clothes we probably need to wear if we're going to be clothed in compassion. It means we're going to be sweating. It means we're going to be moving. It means we're going to go into action, not for ourselves, but for others. The Lord wants to clothe us in compassion to go into action, to do battle, to do warfare, to fight for people's hearts and lives and souls, right? But that involves doing things, not just preaching, but doing actions to lift others up. Because people are so broken and so insecure and don't know their purpose in living and they need somebody to come and have mercy on them. So, you know, when I think of compassion, I don't think of a business suit, right? I just did a wedding, and I had on a black suit and a tie, and I dressed up. But that wasn't my compassion suit. My compassion suit is usually when I put on my shorts and my t-shirt, and I go out on the relief bus, and we're sweating outside. You know, it's hot, and we're serving soup, and we're giving drinks, and we're praying over people, and we're doing work. It's a 4 hours of outreach. We have 8 outreaches a week. Everyone is 4 hours. When I'm done with that outreach, I am tired. Man, that was a long day, but that was a good day. And I have to go shower off and put on my Snuggie, right? I have to relax now so I can get some rest and go back out. I want to look at the verse James 5:11. Just in case you're not sure how important compassion is. It says the Lord is what? Full. So it doesn't say the Lord has a little eyedropper of compassion. Just a little bit, just a little compassion. No, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, he's full of compassion and mercy. How much more should we be full? Like, this is what defines my life. People know me as the compassionate person. Okay, now I'm going to get real with you, okay? I did not grow up. I was not born a compassionate person. I was not the kind of person that was naturally like, oh, let me take care of you. Oh, they need a volunteer at church? Me. No, I would be like this. Let me go hide. They need a volunteer? Let me hide, you know, so they don't think I'm going to do something, because I didn't have the heart of God. I was not clothed with compassion. He had to change me. Let me tell you a little story of when I was out on the streets. This next photo is a man I met. His name's Asa. I was at Penn Station, you know, where Madison Square Garden is. I was out on the sidewalk holding my sign and begging. It's not a good feeling to beg. I had never begged in my life. It makes you feel bad. And, you know, it made me feel bad when people would ignore me, but I even feel a little bad when people gave me money. Like, I want to take care of myself. I want to earn my own money. You know, it's humiliating. And I was sitting there, and I don't know if you know the New York Knicks, the basketball team, right? They had just played a game right there in the building in Madison Square Garden, and all the people were coming out. I believe it was a Sunday game, and all the people had little bags of snacks. They were called veggie straws. I don't know if you heard of veggie straws. Instead of chips, it was a little, they kind of taste like styrofoam. They don't taste very good, but they're supposed to be healthy, but I'm sure they're not, right? Anyway, all these people were given a free bag of veggie straws. And so they came out of the game, and they just saw a game, and they saw me begging. They said, oh, let me give him the veggie straws. You know, he looks hungry. So I took one, I took another. I had 14 bags of veggie straws. And you know what? Honestly, I was hungry. I won't lie. I was hungry. I was like, oh, good. I'll have a snack. And then this man came up, and he had a bag. He said, don't eat that. He goes, are you hungry? I said, yeah, I'm hungry. And I didn't know what I was going to eat that night. I didn't know if I'd have any dinner. And he said, don't eat that. That's not real food. He said, here. And he had a big bag. I was like, what is this? And this man looked not wealthy, right? He looked just like a guy on the street. Maybe he was living on the streets too. I didn't know. He handed me I looked in the bag, and it was full of delicious gourmet food. It was wrapped up, sealed, a lot of food, and sandwiches, some salads, bread, and fresh. And it was all sealed up. And I was like, I looked at him, I was like, who are you? You know? I said, what's your name? He said, Asa. I was like, Asa, thank you. This is great. Thank you so much. And later that night, I ate that food. Oh, it hit the spot. I was like, wow. This is like not cheap food. This is delicious. And he said, you're going to love that, right? And he left. But 2 weeks later, after I was done living on the streets, I'm out doing outreach with the relief bus. You can see in the background. Who comes up to the bus but Asa? I said, Asa, do you remember me? It's Juan. And he goes, oh, yeah. I said, you fed me. That was delicious. You took care of me. Well, I learned his story. 10 years earlier, Asa had been homeless. He was an alcoholic. His life was filled with depression, and he came to the relief bus. And one of our staff, his name was Roscoe. Now he's a missionary in China, Roscoe. But back then, he was an outreach leader. And he met Asa, and he prayed with him, and he fed him, and he loved on him. And Asa gave his life to Jesus. And Asa got set free from alcoholism. And now what does Asa do with his time? He works during the warm season at Coney Island, the little amusement park. But what does he do with his free time? He looks for other people to help. He looks for other people to feed. He looks for other people to love with the love of Jesus and show compassion, because compassion was shown to him. And now he clothed himself with Jesus. And that's what his life is about. His life has meaning and purpose. Does he have much money? No. No, not at all. But he has Jesus. How much richer can you be, right? It's true. Look at this. I forgot about this verse. You know, there's so many verses about compassion. It's criminal to ignore a neighbor in need. Like, criminal. But compassion for the poor, what a blessing. This is the Old Testament. This isn't just the New Testament when Jesus came. This is God from the beginning. He said, it's criminal to ignore someone who's hurting and in their brokenness and their pain, but compassion for them, that's a blessing for us. We think it's a blessing for them. I can tell you, I take thousands of people from all over America out onto the streets to love the homeless. They come alive. They see Jesus in a new way. They clothe themselves with compassion, and they're like, I never knew how much this would change my life. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to give you the same opportunity today to do the same thing. Out in the lobby, I have signups. And I'm going to invite you at the end of the service, every person, to sign up and come one time, just at least one time, to the streets of New York City or to Newark, New Jersey. But come and clothe yourself with compassion and love people who need a friend. They just need a friend. They need someone to love them. Okay, let's look at what Jesus encountered in Mark chapter 1. It says this, now a leper came to him, imploring him, like begging him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with what? Compassion, stretched out his hand. He did something, and he touched his leprous skin, his diseased skin, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. That's the difference between Jesus and us. When Jesus saw someone suffering, sores all over his body, rotting skin, we would go like this. Oh, what if I get it? What if I get a disease? What if that person wants something from me? Jesus, opposite, he saw the man and his heart was moved with compassion. He went into action immediately. He couldn't just stand to watch him suffer. He had to do something about it. And that's what the Lord is calling us into, is this life of action on a daily basis. But, you know, many times, I don't know about you, but me, I'm not always walking in the Spirit. A lot of times I'm walking in the flesh. I love Jesus. I'm a Christian, but let's be real. Sometimes we're walking in the flesh. I'm not thinking about the Lord. I'm just thinking about me. And sometimes I judge. Sometimes instead of being moved with compassion, I look at the outside. I'm like, oh, that person is a mess. And then I get convicted. You know, back in our history in America, we had a president, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton had a moment in his presidency that was the worst thing that had ever happened in any presidency in our country. He lied, he committed adultery, and he was exposed. And it was a shame. And not only did it make many people, Americans, angry, it made many Christians and churches very angry. And they were mad. And they were fed up. But there was a leader, maybe you've heard of him, his name's Billy Graham. Billy Graham went to Bill Clinton. He had embarrassed his wife. He had embarrassed his children, his daughter Chelsea. And so Billy Graham went to see him. And here's what he said afterwards. Because people said to Billy Graham, you shouldn't go be with him. You shouldn't go talk to him. You should avoid him because he's a stain upon our history, upon our presidency. He said he was a Christian. Look what he did. And here's what Billy Graham said. He said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. He said, it's God's job to judge. And he said, it's my job to love. Whether it's the president of the country or whether it's an addicted homeless man or woman who's smoking crack or using heroin, it's not my job to convict. It's the Holy Spirit's. It's not my job to judge. That's God's job. It's my job to love them, warts and all their problems, all their sin, all their issues. Why? Because Jesus loved me when I was a wretched, horrible sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But I forget that when I look at other people. But he says, no, no, clothe yourselves with compassion. You see, Billy Graham didn't look at people through political lenses. He didn't put on political glasses and go, oh, well, I'm a Republican, and I think I hate him because he's a Democrat, and good for him. He should be punished and kicked. No, he didn't do that. He said, that's a child of God. That man needs someone to minister Jesus to him. and the word of God and God's love and the cross. And he went to him privately to minister God's forgiveness. Wow. That's amazing. I hope I can be like that, like Billy Graham. So here's something I want us to think about, all right? I'm going to make a compassion scale, all right? I'm going to put 0, 10, maybe in the middle. That's 5, 3, 7, okay? I want you to think about yourself. Where are you? How strong is your compassion, in other words? Are you down here? This is the Pharisees. The Pharisees did not love the poor. Not at all. They would take advantage of the poor. They would sometimes encourage people to sin by not even having compassion on their own mother and father. Like the Pharisees would say, oh, you don't have to give money to your mother and father when they're old to take care of them. We'll just call it a gift to God. They would spiritualize a lack of compassion for their own mother and father. I mean, talk about zero, right? And then I think, of course, up here, this has got to be Jesus, the ultimate expression. He's probably more like 100, right, or 1,000,000, but for the sake of the scale, now where are you? Now, like I told you earlier, when I was growing up, I think I was like a 1.5. I just did not care about people very much. I was so nervous. I was so insecure. I had low self-esteem, and I just felt closed off. I didn't want to talk to people or be around people because I was so nervous and full of fear. You know what I mean? And I was shy. And now, after 14 years of working with the homeless, you know, and washing people's feet and feeding people, I think maybe I got to here. Maybe a 5. I'm still working on it, right? I don't have all of God's heart. I look at some of my staff and I'm like, whoa, you're a 9. You're an 8.5. Because I have a friend at work. His name's Alec. He's one of my best friends. I went to Bible college with him. I saw him, he's one of the most compassionate people I've ever met in my life. I saw him, he was talking to me and he saw a homeless man sitting against a wall on the ground, and the man was very tired and he started to slide down, and he would have hit his head on the ground. And Alec, he was talking to me, he stopped talking to me, he ran over there and he caught him and he put his head on the ground and he got a blanket and he put it under his head, and the man was unconscious, unresponsive. And he kept an eye on him, and he prayed over him, and he kept, you know, it's like nothing else matters but someone in pain. Nothing else matters about how I look, but that person who needs help right now, that guy's like, he's up here, right? Let's be honest. This isn't a guilt chart, by the way, right? I didn't come here to make us all feel terrible, like you should feel terrible about yourself. No, no, no. It's the grace of God that allows us to grow to be like Jesus, right? Where are you? When you see someone, a stranger, maybe you know them even, but you see them hurting, going through a hard time, a divorce maybe, or their kids are out of control, or they got into debt, or they're struggling with addiction, or any sin, right? How much compassion do you naturally feel, right? Think about it. Maybe you're like, oh, this is my weak point. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I am such a compassionate person. I really care about everybody all the time. That's great. God has blessed you. You're gifted. A lot of us need to grow. Amen? I need to grow. And here's the thing. This isn't something I'm teaching you. You should do this. If you're a good Christian, you better start doing these things. No, no, no. You get to do these things. Why? The more you grow in compassion, the more you get to experience the riches and the blessing and the fullness of Christ. It's all blessing, okay? There's no guilt, right? And here's the secret. Jesus has a passion for people. He would do anything for us. He would give up anything for us. He did. And now he said, take up your cross and follow me. This is what a God life looks like. It looks like being clothed with compassion. Every act of Jesus was compassionate. Every single one. Even when he was tough. You remember when he yelled at the Pharisees and called them bad names? Remember that? You're like, oh, that doesn't sound very sweet, Jesus. It was compassion. Because he was like, don't miss this. He had to get their attention. Sometimes we have to use tough love. is like, stop it. Don't be a snake. Don't do that. Get a hold of the heart of God. And he lived it, and he demonstrated what it means to be compassionate, not just by touching lepers, but by letting children come to him, by loving adulterers and tax collectors and all the worst people. Jesus could just not get enough of them. He just thought they were the greatest, but he never compromised, but they knew he loved them no matter what they did. That's the way I want to be known, but I got to work on it. One of my favorite authors, his name is Brendan Manning, and he wrote this quote. I think I have it on the next slide. Oh, there we go. There we go. He says this in one of his books. He said, whenever I allow anything but tenderness and compassion to dictate my response to life, be it self-righteous anger, moralizing, defensiveness, the pressing need to change other people, control them, he said, if I do that, I'm alienated from my true self, my identity as Abba's child. In other words, a child of God. It becomes ambiguous, tentative, and confused. And our true identity is to look like Jesus. But the more we respond to other people with judging, with trying to control them, with trying to look better than them, anything else, our own identity gets confused. We look less and less like Jesus. And so he's wanting us to clothe ourselves, wrap ourselves up in Christ. I'm going to show you a video of a man who came to our bus. His name is Christoph. He's originally from Vietnam. And this story is very powerful. It's also a little PG, the things he talks about, his lifestyle. So I'm going to warn you, okay? It's not graphic, but it's a very serious topics. But it's also one of the most amazing miracles I've ever seen. So we're going to show this video of a testimony of this man named Christoph. Take a look. This is what happened to me when I was out on the streets. I was begging every day, experiencing just a little bit of what people in the streets were encountering. And let me tell you, when people showed me compassion, it rocked me. When people were nice to me, because most were not, most gave me a bad look. One guy even walked by and he mocked me. Imagine if you were homeless. And he mocked me. Who does that, right? That's not God's heart. Look at this next slide. I want to tell you, this is really amazing. I was out on the streets and I was begging in front of Trump Tower. I had begged all over the city. I begged at Grand Central Station, Port Authority, Penn Station. I begged down at the Wall Street area where that was. I went and I was just walking the streets and praying. And I felt like I was supposed to go up on Fifth Avenue. Fifth Avenue is a very rich area, okay, where all the fancy stores are, Tiffany's and Gucci and all these places, and Trump Tower. And I sat across the street with my sign, and I began to pray. I prayed for the president. I prayed for the mayor of the city. I prayed for how they would treat the homeless and help the poor. And I wasn't being political. I was just, like, seeking God. And I was sitting there, and my feet hurt because I walked, like, 20 blocks. I had blisters on my feet from walking all day, every day. And I sat down, and I took my boots off, but, you know, it's kind of humiliating to have your feet sitting on the sidewalk, people looking at you, especially rich people. And so I put my blanket over me so they wouldn't see my feet, and I had my sign, and this young girl came up, who's like 19, she came up, and she said, hello, and she smiled at me, and I was like, hello, and she sat down right in front of me on the sidewalk. I was like, whoa. What's going on? This isn't happening. And then these other two girls came right with her and they sat down all around me on the ground. And they said, what's your name? That was only the second time in 7 days somebody asked me my name, because I had become faceless, nameless. Nobody cares. I said, well, my name's Juan. What's your name? And she said, my name's Bailey. She's like, how are you doing? She asked about, I was like, oh, well, my feet hurt. I'm tired. And they opened their backpacks and they took out some granola bars. They said, would you like something to eat? Would you like a granola bar? I was like, yes, thank you. They gave me three. I was like, this is great. I put it in my bag. And they said, well, what's going on? Can we pray for you? I was like, what? Who are these young girls, right? And I said, well, yes, I'll take prayer. I reached in my bag and I pulled out a Bible. I said, I got this Bible at the mission. It was a Gideon Bible. I've been reading it all week. I said, I'm a believer, but what I'm doing this week is I'm praying that God would change me. I'm reading the Bible and I want him to make me more like Jesus. I want to love people like Jesus loves them. I want to love the poor, the other homeless people like Jesus loves them. They did not expect that answer. They're like, whoa, you like want to grow spiritually. You know, they probably thought I would ask for prayer for a shelter, a job, or a house or something. And I said, yeah. So they laid hands on me and they prayed for me right there on the sidewalk with all the people going by. And I just received from the Holy Spirit just touching me. And it was amazing. And so at the end, I said to them, before they left, I said, hey, are you New Yorkers? Like, who are you? And they said, no, we're from Pennsylvania, from, you know, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I said, oh, okay, that's why you're so nice, probably, right? I don't know. So I said, well, why are you here? Are you on vacation? Are you here to, you know, see the sights? They said, oh, no, we're here on a service trip. I was like, well, what are you doing? Well, we're working in the Bronx and on the relief bus. And I said, what's the relief bus? And they said, well, we went 2 days ago. We just served one day on the bus, but we learned how to feed people and talk to people and love people and pray with people and get to know them. And I was like, wow, you guys are amazing. And before they left, I said, you know what? I'd like to stay in touch with you, you know? And, you know, I said, why don't you become my friend on Facebook? Did you know homeless people are on Facebook? They are. Totally. I'm not kidding. They have phones a lot of time, or they go to the library and they can use the computer for 15 minutes. And I have many friends on Facebook who are homeless right now. And I said, why don't you look up my name, Juan Galloway? Because there's not many people named Juan Galloway. And so I said, okay, and we said goodbye. So 3 or 4 days later, you know, they're back in Pennsylvania and they're looking on there and they see Juan Galloway, president of New York City Relief, the relief bus. They're like, what? And they messaged me, you know, and they're like, wow, I can't believe it. They're like, I knew God was doing something, you know, but I didn't know what. But to me, I told them, I said, what you did was a sign from God to me, because I am seeking the heart of God. Where do I go? What do I do? What are you saying to me? And he told me to go live on the streets. Why? I don't know, but I'm going to go meet Jesus there, because I believed if I met the poor and the homeless, I would meet Jesus. I believe if I would see the poor and the homeless, I would see Jesus. I believe if I would just listen to the poor and the homeless, I would hear Jesus. I can't tell you how true that was. And when I was out there, and a man named Asa, who had gotten saved and delivered 10 years earlier, fed me, that was Jesus. When these girls, this is their team, they came from the college, 3 of them were the ones who talked to me. It was their day off. That was not a ministry day. That was a fun day. That was a day to go shopping and buy things for themselves. What were they doing? They were following, they were looking for Jesus, and they found me. And as I was seeking God, and I was literally praying there, trying to have the Lord, show me your face, right? What do you desire? Of all the millions of people in that city, and of all the thousands, like you saw the numbers, there's 60,000 homeless people in New York. They came to me, the president of the organization. You think that's a coincidence? There's no way. There's people begging all over the city, but they didn't go to them. They came to me. And I was like, Lord, I see you. Lord, I hear you. Lord, I just want to know you. The power of compassion set these girls on fire. They weren't from the Bronx. They weren't from New York, but they had come to meet with Jesus. They come to serve the Lord on missions, right? That's why Mission Sunday is important, everybody. Amen? We're all missionaries. We're all supposed to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We're all supposed to be clothed with compassion. So when people see us, they see Jesus. When they hear us, they hear Jesus. When they feel us, they feel Jesus. They smell Jesus, right? He wants to drop into you an assignment and a calling and a purpose and a strategy even. If you just ask him, Lord, what do I do? Who do I go to? Who do I show compassion? What are you telling me, God? I want to obey you. If you ask him, look out. You're in trouble. You may have to go sleep on the streets of New York City for a week. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to tell you, but he speaks. He speaks all the time. But my ears are plugged up most of the time, and it's like I'm muffled and I can't hear. I have to pull it out. God, what are you saying? I have to do something different to hear God. So now here's what I'm going to suggest to you. If your muscles, compassion muscles, are small, you know, if they're tiny, if you feel kind of weak as far as compassion, you're like, yeah, Juan, I think I'm 5 and under. I need some work. I'm not very strong in compassion. That's okay. The Lord wants to pump you up. But you may have to go to a compassion gym. Yeah. You know, you may have to go to a compassion gym and do some heavy lifting and bulk up, you know, to get the empathy on steroids, right? So now I have good news for you here today. Fountain of the Living Word Church, I have a special offer. It's today only. I own a compassion gym. Okay? So I'm giving out free memberships, but it's today only, okay? Don't come to me tomorrow or next week, today. I have signups in the lobby. You could come out with your kids. You could come out with your friends or your spouse, your coworkers. You know, we have Christians bringing all their coworkers from their office out on the relief bus to feed and serve and love people. And you know what? Those people aren't Christians yet, but they love it. That's the power of compassion. They may not come to church with you right away. They may be like, no, 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 I'm not a church person. But if you're like, you know what, but would you like to go with me and go serve people, help the homeless? They'd be like, wow, that's different. Well, how does it work? And you can tell them all about it. You can show them a video online. You can, whatever. God can use you to spread compassion and be a light that destroys the darkness and the selfishness and the egotisticalness and the greed by pulling people into the heart of God and doing the works, the literal works of Jesus. Is that awesome? Man, I'm preaching myself happy today. This is good stuff. This is what the Lord is doing in me. It's fresh manna. I'm eating it. I keep eating it, and I'm like, it's still good. It's still good. This tastes great because I'm just getting more of it. All right, I'm going to end with a song this morning because I feel like we should respond to the heart of God. We should respond to the word of God. Otherwise, 2 weeks from now, you'll go, what was that message? I don't know. Because that's what we do. This is the sad thing for most pastors. People forget our messages within, like that. It's in one ear, out the other. We have to do something to, like, stick roots in the ground. Grab a hold of it. Like, I'm not going to let go of this word. Nothing will steal this word from my heart. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be like Jesus. Nothing will stop me. So let's stand up together.